Good morning. I'm Natalie with KQNK. Today is Friday, May 31st. Currently with rain, it is 59 degrees. The humidity is 88%. The wind speed is north at 12 miles per hour. The barometric pressure is 30.08, and the dew point is 55 degrees. We are also under a flood warning until 9 a.m., and we want to thank the bank for all of our severe weather reports, closings, and delays, the Bank of Oberlin and Norton, the bank that cares. It is 7:04 and time for Kansas News.
Be caller number 4 at 877-3378 for your chance to win a new grill from these sponsors: Moffitt Drug, United Northwest Federal Credit Union, Foxler Insurance, Norton Auto Supply, The Home Store of Norton, Thistle, The Anby Home, Cowpoke Supply, First State Bank, and Pizza Hut Wing Street of Norton. Be caller number 4 for your chance to win.
Kansas Information Network News. I'm Jen Austin. A bicyclist found hurt on a Kansas City trail has died. Brandon Dixon reports.
61-year-old Timothy Osgood, who was critically injured after crashing a bike on Rock Island Trail last Friday, has passed away. Osgood was discovered by a person out for a morning run along the concrete portion of the trail near East 53rd Street. He was taken to the hospital with life-threatening injuries and died Saturday night. Police say Osgood was riding an electric bike, but the exact cause of the crash is unknown. I'm Brandon Dixon.
Data from the U.S. Census Bureau shows populations in suburbs of larger Kansas cities are growing while numbers are declining in smaller cities. The 2023 information released last week shows shrinking populations in communities including Garden City, Dodge City, and Salina. There is some disagreement over the census numbers because housing shortages do exist in several of those cities. Local leaders maintain there was an undercount. Funding often relies on the national data. This is Kansas Information Network News.
You said you'd never buy your kid candy from the checkout aisle.
Or forget extra diapers. And never give in to a meltdown. You'd never lick your thumb to clean their face. Never let them have too much screen time. And never bribe them for just one more bite. You say you'd never let them out in public without their hair brushed. Never, ever become a minivan mom. And you'd never give them your phone for a quiet dinner.
Calling boss work phone.
So when you say you'd never leave your child in a hot car, no, it can happen. Cars get hot fast, and kids can be at risk in temperatures as low as 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA.
Good morning, I'm Natalie Hadley with your KQNK News. Brought to you by Edward Jones Investments. Philip Eisenhagen is your financial advisor here in Norton. On Thursday, Governor Kelly announced that $2.8 million is being invested in 15 organizations through the Digital Opportunities to Connect Kansas, or DOC program, and these DOC grants will improve the digital skills of Kansans who have not yet been able to fully capitalize on the power of the Internet, providing Kansans the digital literacy skills necessary to live, learn, work, and compete equitably in a technology-driven society. The Kansas Office of Broadband Development received applications from numerous entities, including local governments, community organizations, and educational institutions. Lieutenant Governor and Secretary of Commerce David Tolan said communities investing in digital skills are foundational to local and statewide economic development, and the partnerships created and strengthened through DOC underscore their commitment to ensuring all Kansans have what they need to succeed in the ever-changing digital landscape. An additional $1.95 million will be available in a second round of funding later this year to continue promoting access to digital resources and opportunities across the state. And the Kansas Office of Broadband Development will offer a technical assistance webinar to support successful applications. The Department for Children and Families is launching Summer EBT, a new program to help eligible families offset some of the costs of buying food for their school-aged children over summer break. Summer EBT, also known as Sunbucks in other states, is a partnership between the Department for Children and Families and the U.S. Department of Agriculture Food and Nutrition Service, and the program provides families $120 for each eligible school-aged child to buy groceries. DCF Secretary Laura Howard said summer is a time when many children lose the free and reduced price meals they get at school and when households might need a little extra help putting meals on the table. In the summer, EBT benefits can be used to buy food like fruits, vegetables, meat, whole grains, and dairy at grocery stores, farmers markets, and other places that accept SNAP EBT benefits. Howard added that children and teens need healthy food year-round to play, grow, and learn, so summer EBT will help families stretch their grocery budget during the summer and provide their children with the nutrition they need to thrive. Summer EBT benefits will begin rolling out in mid to late July, and for most families, summer EBT will automatically be added to an existing household's Kansas Benefits card, also known as an EBT card, or loaded onto a Kansas Benefits card and mailed to the home. Families that don't receive summer EBT benefits but believe that they do qualify must apply between August 12th and September the 11th, 2024, through the DCF online sales service portal at dcfapp.kees.ks.gov. And children who receive summer EBT can still participate in other summer meal programs that may be available in their community. By the end of July 2024, benefits will be issued automatically to eligible children who the DCF can identify in partnership with the Kansas Department of Education. Any children who did not receive benefits by the end of July 2024 may apply for summer EBT benefits through the online self-service portal. And online applications for summer EBT will be accepted from August 12th through September the 11th. To learn more about the summer EBT program, you can visit dcf.ks.gov. Kansas district courts affected by an October 12 cybersecurity incident have finished working through a backlog of new cases and paper documents that were filed while court information systems were offline from mid-October to early January. District courts in 104 counties switched to paper filings after court information systems managed by the Office of Judicial Administration were taken offline following the October 12th cybersecurity incident. Some courts reduced their hours for their court clerks, and they were open to give staff uninterrupted time to focus on working through their paper backlogs. And as courts finished this work, some of their court clerk office staff helped courts in other judicial districts work through their backlogs. A statewide workshare team numbering about a dozen people from court clerk offices in several judicial districts helped multiple courts work through their backlogs. Working across lines that define judicial districts and counties was not possible before the judicial branch began rolling out a new case management system in district courts statewide. By August 2023, all district courts operated in the Kansas eCourt case management system except the court in Johnson County. The Johnson County District Court will transition to the new case management system later this year. This new case management system also makes it possible for people to search most district court case information online through the Kansas District Court Public Access Portal. Now that all courts have worked through their paper backlogs, the portal now has information from the period that the courts were operating on paper. In Nebraska news, according to the Nebraska State Patrol, 42-year-old Jason Davenport has been accused of shooting at officers and taking a woman hostage on Thursday in Omaha, and he's still on the run. Authorities said that at about 8:15 p.m. on Thursday, law enforcement were trying to arrest Davenport at a home near 30th and L Streets, as the Council Bluffs, Iowa man had a warrant after fleeing from law enforcement last week. However, Davenport came out of the home shooting a handgun. Multiple troopers and an officer with the Omaha Police Department fired back, and authorities said Davenport took a woman hostage and fled in a gray Ford Fusion. Police chased him but lost sight of the car about 2 miles to the south in Upland Park. Officers from multiple agencies searched the area, with the Omaha Police Department and State Patrol helicopters circling overhead, but the patrol said there was no sign of Davenport, the hostage, or the car. Davenport is about 6'3". He weighs 170 to 200 pounds, and he has a large neck tattoo that says "Blessed." Police said that if you see him, call 911. The patrol reported that no police officers or state troopers were injured in the incident. A former Central Nebraska news anchor, 27-year-old Joseph Scanlon, now of Arlington, Texas, was sentenced on Thursday to 90 days in jail and 2 years probation on two counts of intimidation by a phone call or electronic device and one count of assault causing bodily injury for charges related to sending a woman threatening messages. With the jail sentence, Scanlon will serve 60 days in jail. That started Thursday afternoon, and the remaining 30 days will start February 1st, 2025. He was given credit for 2 days served. Scanlon pled guilty to the charges in March, and in exchange for his plea, the later count was reduced from felony terroristic threats. According to the arrest affidavit, a Buffalo County woman reported receiving an email from Scanlon in which he encouraged her to kill herself and threatened her. The affidavit said that on December 5, 2023, a Buffalo County Sheriff's deputy responded to the woman's home where she told him she'd been receiving intimidating and threatening messages from Scanlon for the past month. As part of his sentencing, Scanlon was ordered to have no contact with the victim or to make any social media posts about her. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Think an investing strategy needs to be overly complicated in order to be smart? Hi, I'm Philip Eisenhagen, your Norton Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Often the best investing strategies are straightforward and understandable. While there are lots of complicated, trendy investments out there, I focus on the fundamentals. That includes diversification, quality investments, and strategies designed to help meet your goals. And I'll sit down with you face-to-face to make sure what you're investing in is not confusing to you. Contact me today at 785-877-3373. Edward Jones, making sense of investing, member SIPC.
Soybean gall midge, a new pest to soybean production in the United States, has been found in two northeast Kansas counties. And Kansas State University entomologist Anthony Zuckoff said the pest causes devastating damage to fields. Zuckoff said after several years of Nebraska counties on the Kansas line having infestations, soybean gall midge has finally showed up in northeast Kansas in Nemaha and Marshall counties last year. The tiny flies lay their eggs in soybean fields and bring harm to plants by feeding on their stems. And their maggots consume tissue inside the stems of the plants, which leads to severe lodging, or plants falling over, and outright plant death. Lodging and plant death can give rise to fields having considerably poor yields at harvest. To detect soybean gall midge, Zuckoff encourages producers to scout fields for wilting soybean plants. He said at the base of the plant, they might have a swollen, darkened stem, and if you see symptoms like that, including wilting, swelling, and dark coloration, cut the plant down the middle and look for maggots inside the stem. If you do see some maggots, especially if they're bright orange, reach out to your local extension professionals, because early detection for this pest is really important. Report a soybean gall midge appearance to professionals at local extension office in Kansas or by contacting the K-State Entomology Department. And you can also visit the Soybean Gall Midge Alert Network at soybeangallmidge.org to stay up to date on the pest's presence in Kansas. Lieutenant Governor and Secretary of Commerce David Tolan wants to remind Kansans that $500,000 is available under the Emergency Response Historic Economic Asset Lifeline or Emergency HEAL program to bring rural downtown buildings back from likely demolition or collapse and rehabilitate them into productive commercial use. Emergency HEAL was created to provide a resource to address sudden and urgent needs of communities when disaster strikes. Buildings that are at risk of imminent loss, that are causing damage to surrounding downtown buildings, and or have significant damage due to a disaster event are eligible projects for Emergency HEAL. The grant will be open annually with a maximum of $100,000 award per community. Communities are allowed to use the funding to help save more than one building if needed, and matching funds are required. Submitted projects must show that recent damage has caused an urgent need for immediate repair or the building could be lost. And in addition, the community has 1 year to repair the building and identify a tenant. Once stabilized, Emergency HEAL grants help bring downtown buildings back into productive use for spaces such as businesses, existing or new, housing, arts and culture, child care, or entrepreneurship or innovation. The application period will close tomorrow, Saturday, June 1st, or until the funding is exhausted, and a new round will open July 1st, 2024, closing June 1st, 2025. For more information about Emergency HEAL or the online application, you can visit kansascommerce.gov. The Kansas Department of Transportation is scheduled to begin work on a pair of bridge repair projects along eastbound I-70 in Trigo County starting on Monday, June 3rd. The project work will include milling and patching and resurfacing the bridge decks on the structures located approximately 5 miles east of Waukini and 4.3 miles east of Ogallala. Lane closures will be in effect through the work zones, with speeds reduced to 60 miles per hour, and the Kansas Department of Transportation wants to remind motorists to slow down and stay alert for construction equipment and crews when traveling through the work zones. This project work is expected to be complete in early October, conditions permitting. And for more information, you can contact the Kansas Department of Transportation Area Construction Engineer, Mitchell Johnson, at 785-261-6132. I'm Natalie Hadley. Your KQNK News was brought to you by Edward Jones Investments. Philip Eisenhagen is your financial advisor here in Norton. Your KQNK weather forecast for today, there's a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly between 4 p.m. and 5 p.m. Otherwise, it's going to be mostly cloudy with a high near 76 and an east wind of 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, it should be mostly cloudy with a low around 56 and an east wind around 5 miles per hour. On Saturday, there's a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms before 2 p.m. and then a slight chance of showers between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. and then a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 4 p.m. On Saturday, it should be mostly sunny with the high near 81 and the chance of precipitation is 20%. On Sunday, there's a chance of showers between 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. and then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 4 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny with the high near 88. On Monday, mostly sunny with the high near 85. On Tuesday, there's a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny with the high near 88. On Wednesday, sunny with the high near 84. And on Thursday, should be sunny with the high near 85. Currently, with rain, it is 59 degrees. It is 7:21.